Okay. Sure is. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time together. Again, bringing us all from all walks of life in here together in one accord. And we just praise you that tonight is going to be another great night with you, Lord. You're going to be leading us with your spirit. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have an open heaven. We believe it, and our faith is in you, Lord. We trust that when we pray for things, it's going to happen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that people will get healed. People will get delivered and set free. And we praise you, Father, in all that you do in each and every one of us tonight. We thank you for all the testimonies that you've given us, Lord, and all the praise report that you've given us, Father. We thank you for the dominion you've given us everywhere we walk, Lord, that signs and wonders would follow the word of God. And we praise you, Father, for allowing us the wherewithal to be able to do that and to set people free all from all walks of life. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, because everyone here is a priest and a preacher. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. But I'm going to do a praise report real quick, too, for people on the outreach here, because I haven't been on much lately. But locally, we know about this. But I had two grandchildren born, my oldest daughter, about 3 weeks ago now. And they were premature. They were twins. And they were losing weight after they were born, so put them in ICU. We prayed for them here locally. And they... 10 days in ICU, yeah, 10 days, and they're both home now and doing well. So I want to thank the Lord for that. That was a real miracle and just a real blessing. And, you know, it's great to have them home and out of the hospital. So, you know, the prayers were answered there, and I want to thank God for that. And the second thing is a prayer request. I just got off, actually, my wife's FaceTiming my oldest daughter's oldest child right now, Tasha, who is here with us for a while, but they got a big fire going around there. It's 10,000 acres, and it's growing, and it's started to jump with embers getting caught up in the convection of the heat, and the fire started now about a half mile from their house, and she's home alone because her parents are in town with the babies. So I don't think there's any imminent danger, but I'd like to pray against this fire. I'd like to pray for some moist, cool air to move into the eastern Washington, winds to become favorable, and get some rain. And Lord, this fire has gone long enough. You've watched over your people. You've watched over everyone and most of the property, and we thank you for that. But we call for rain, and we call for an end to this fire and favorable conditions for it. So thank you, Lord, for hearing that prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We command that fire to go around, to stop, actually. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for bringing that storm full of water like we've been getting for the last couple of days. Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's going to happen. All right, Pat.
This weekend coming up, we're going up to visit my parents. Are going to be up at my mother and father-in-law are coming up from Florida, and they're coming up to my sister, my wife's sister, their house in Ohio. So we're going to be up there for a long weekend. And so there's going to be a lot of family around. I would like to ask prayer for, that God would start to crack hearts in the family and open up the eyes of my mother and father-in-law. As a matter of fact, I'll just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is greater than all of our sin, greater and able to lead us into the light that you bring forth. And Lord, we thank you for the circumstances that you're bringing upon the world, the pressures that you're bringing upon society, and you're opening up eyes, you're declassifying information, opening up people's eyes to see the reality of the person pulling the strings behind the curtains, and people's eyes are being opened. So Lord, I just pray that this will be accepted, understood. The eyes of my parents, my folks will be opened up. My brothers and sisters in-law will be opened up to see and to realize and just to focus back on you, just to be motivated to focus upon the fear of the Lord, and knowing and realizing that you are in control of all events and you control everything that touches our lives. And so, Lord, I just ask you to open up a path for me to speak, or for someone else to bring up a conversation, and just allow that conversation to go toward you and toward the events that are happening and the reasoning behind, and whatever a portion of the gospel needs to get into their lives, Lord. I just pray that you would open up eyes, open up ears, soften hearts, and bring forth your light into that subject, into that situation, and into the environment there, in Jesus' name. And thank you for it.
Amen. Lord, we're looking for the victory in this family, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to all that need it, in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yep, Andrew, go ahead.
I have a praise report. Finally, the HR person called me. Looks like I'm going to be retired, perhaps October 1st. It's just in its infancy now, so they're going to send me the package tomorrow. And then I have a meeting next Thursday. I think it's the 26th or something like that. And I go on from there. There is one issue, though. They might be starting to test people for COVID, whatever that means, to get into the university for that day. And I don't know if they're going to do this twice a week or every day. I don't know if it's just a saliva test, or I don't know, something up your nose test. I don't know. I'm just going to pray about that and say, Lord, just to take care of all that too, whatever that may be. I'm not concerned about that. And that's about it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't do the test.
Why is that?
It's just as bad as the jab. Oh. Some of them are.
Okay.
I don't know, but we'll check into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, I have to take my holidays first. So it's not like I'm going to be going in every day. I have enough days to go to October 1st.
Awesome.
But it still has to be finalized, and that's next week when everything opens up.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to pray for Andrew about all that. I'll praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for giving Andrew grace, wisdom, and discernment about the choices he's making here, Lord, and pray that you put your will in his heart and you'll give him knowledge and understanding about, in words, how to go about doing that. He has to go in and meet in person, and we just pray against them testing Andrew for this virus in any way, shape, or form. We command that to just be not necessary that day when he goes in, and he won't have to be tested. And we thank you, Lord, for going before him and protecting him. And we just speak confusion and failure to all of that COVID testing. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting Andrew and all that he does and where he goes. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing him with the retirement, an early retirement, because he can be freed up now to follow you wherever you send him. And we also ask, Lord, that he take full advantage of every day he has built up time off, that he doesn't even have to spend much of the next 30 plus days working. Lord, he can just spend his time resting in you. And I ask, God, that you give him grace and wisdom and helping him to fill out all that paperwork, and that you make it easy for him, and it'll be clear and concise, and answer any questions he has. Lord, you know what's on that paperwork, and you know what has to be done, and all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and all those things, Father. And I know that you can do that. And we just bless Andrew in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Geneva, go ahead.
I wanted to thank the Lord because today I had my ultrasound. And I was a little nervous to go do an ultrasound, all that, but I don't like having to go to doctor's appointments. You know, that's why we got a midwife, more natural. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just, praise God, I never really had to go to the doctor too much in my life. So I just don't like it. But anyways, we went, and praise the Lord, the baby was moving around and I started crying. It was really good. Morgan was really happy. And also, I wanted to tell you all this. I've been kind of waiting. We did find out the due date will be sometime in February, more toward the end. But probably about a month ago, I prayed that God would give me a name for the baby. And, you know, we still don't know if it's a boy or girl. And I expected it to be later on or something. Because me and Morgan, we've always had names that we like, you know, picked out or whatever. Well, anyways, I was just like, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm not going to choose. You choose for us. And I had a dream, like literally like two or three nights later. And it was the Bible, and it was opened up. And all around the Bible, it was just like a black background, but the Bible was lit up. And then on the right side, and in the right hand corner, in bold light, was the name Micah. And I woke up, and it didn't come to me till later, and it just hit me. I was like, the Lord showed me a name. The Lord blessed me with the name out of the Bible. And so I was, you know, I just want to praise the Lord for that. And, you know, we don't know boy or girl, but that's a good thing about the name. It could go either way. So I just thought that was awesome. And yes, and that is what Micah means. It means who is like God. So praise the Lord. But anyways, good stuff. And Morgan had an interview today where I work, actually, for an IT position, and we're believing in Jesus' name that he's already got the job, because it'd be great hours and it'd be good for us when we have the baby. So just the Lord's doing a lot of stuff, and I just want to praise him and thank him for all he's done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Gonna get it. All right. I wonder if I can shut that chat room off. Oh, no, I can't do that, man. That thing is too much fun. Oh, my. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Mike, it's a good name.
I was kind of wondering, when they do the ultrasound, is that like dance music for the children? That's why they move around, or...
Well, from what I've heard, the babies typically don't like it, you know, that's why they say not to do like too many or whatever. So, But when she was doing it, I was like, yeah, I don't think baby likes that too much. So then she quit, you know. But either way, you know, those children are protected. But yeah, that's what I've always just kind of heard, that the babies don't like it. It's kind of like real loud to them. But yeah, I only plan on getting one more and then that's it. So.
Okay. We'll zap it one more time, but all right. All right, anyone else? Help us, Jesus. All right. Who else? Yeah. Go ahead, Lana.
Michael, did you call on me?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sorry. I was switching from Bluetooth here. The funeral for Josiah is tomorrow morning. We just ask that you lift us all up in prayer. For everything to go as the Lord wills. And yeah, I think that's the extent of what I can say. We are unexpectedly going to be hosting the funeral luncheon as a family. So I'm just listening here and cooking away. Lord knows all the rest of the details. I don't think I want to say much more. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Father, we just ask and we pray that this be a little simple, quick funeral, and that when they do get together, that there's going to be nothing but love for each other. Let your love just permeate the whole family. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe it. Excuse me. We believe it. We declare it in Jesus' name. Peace, love, and harmony in this family. In Jesus' name, we bind up faction. We bind up any kind of bitterness. We can bind up any kind of unforgiveness and cast it out of this family right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody else want to pray? All right. Well, okay. How about it, Mariana?
Hi, everyone. Hey. I just wanted to give a quick praise report here. Last week we were going to the water park here, and it seems like every single time I schedule to go, it's going to rain. And so, no biggie, I was just going to be like, okay, we're not going to go, but the kids were really looking forward to it. So I asked Israel here, my 7-year-old, if he wanted to believe and pray that it wouldn't rain. And so he's like, yeah, sure, because he had been studying about, you know, how Jesus was asleep in the boat and then calmed the storm. So he was using his faith for that type of thing. So the weather forecast is 60% rain. So I'm like, okay, I'm done looking at the weather report. I'm just going to agree with Israel's prayer and our prayer, and we're just going to go, you know, no matter if it was raining, we were going to go. King's Island. Yes, King's Island.
It was at King's Island.
King's Island, he's saying. The water park's
called
King's Island. Anyways, okay. So we went. There was absolutely no rain. Then King's Island, the water park, closed down all the water rides in the sun. We're like, why? There's no rain. Why is it closed? And then the worker's like, well, we can't have a storm within 10 miles. So there was big, dark clouds and, you know, in the horizon 10 miles away. Then I'm like, Israel, what are you doing? And I noticed Israel was laying down on the floor. He had put his towels out and his little jacket as a pillow. I'm like, what are you doing, bud? He's like, well, I'm going to be sleeping here and I'm going to rest and I'm going to wake up and I'm going to tell that cloud to go away, just like in his little storybook. And he did. He got up, commanded the storms and the clouds to go away, and then within 10 minutes, they opened back up all the rides, all the water park rides.
You go, so, Israel.
Yeah, just, you know, childlike faith, really, you know.
Amen. So, amen. That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Lord loves to answer those little ones' prayers. I guarantee you that.
We're going to bring him on for more prayer.
Absolutely. He can bring his pillow, too. All right. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Boy, it's building up a repertoire of testimonies, isn't he? Praise reports. All right. Okay, who's next? Did we have anything scheduled for tonight as far as the subject matter? Okay. Well, let's talk about something here. I don't want to talk to you a little bit about John Lake. How many of you know? Everybody knows who John Lake was, don't you? Okay, good deal. John Lake's Secrets of Spiritual Power. He had seven of them. Seven secrets of spiritual power. Spiritual hunger. An intense desire. A desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results. Not a desire for more of God. He quotes Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We'll say it again, spiritual hunger. That's an intense desire. A desire for the fulfillment of spiritual results. Not a desire for more of God. Then he quotes Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, how do you develop spiritual hunger? Can anyone tell me? Yeah, Julie.
I don't know, you develop it. I cry out for it sometimes.
You have an appetite for it, don't you? You get an appetite for it. And he said, here's how he says this. He says, how to develop spiritual hunger is an appetite. A, the same way you develop physical hunger, increase energy output, which will require greater energy input. In other words, read the word and do the word. That's what he's talking about. Read the word and do the word. B, you must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. We get distracted a lot, don't we? But we need to force ourselves to do the things that we don't normally do, which is read and study the Word of God, pray. He says, you must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. Eat when you don't want to. Eat the Word of God. Eat more often than you are used to. And this will stretch your stomach, forcing you to eat more the next time just to feel full. Y'all get that? You see the spiritual application here? In other words, the more you eat, the more you'll want to eat, because you're stretching your spiritual life. Your flesh is going down, but your spiritual life is magnifying. Yeah, Missy.
The more appetite you'll have is another way of saying it.
Run out of buy again. I didn't hear that last part.
I said, the more appetite you'll have is another way of saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. The more you eat, the more appetite you'll have, I guess. That's what you're saying. Well, that's what he's saying, yeah. Eat more than you're used to. In other words, overfill yourself. You can't overfill yourself in the Word, but do it anyway. Because the next time you want to get more. Somebody was talking about not, I believe it was Dave was talking about not leaving. He had some, he was reading the Word, or somebody was reading the Word, and he finally figured out that they got to get up, got to put the Word down and go to work, you know. Well, that's what he wants us to do. That's the way he wants us to do. Anybody else? I know this is kind of not a real good subject, but it's a good subject. You understand? It's a necessary. You must force, you must force yourself to do the things you normally do not do. Eat when you don't want to. Eat more often than you are used to. This will stretch your stomach, forcing you to eat more next time just to feel full. Example, pray more often, study the Bible more often, witness more often, begin to practice what you learn in the Word. Number two, feeding on the Word of God. A, read. Take a portion of scripture and get the overall story. B, study. Take a verse apart, word by word, get definitions. And C, meditate. Think about and say over and over to yourself what you have discovered in this verse. How many of you have done that before? I know probably most of you have. If you will just do, go in the Gospels and do that and see what Jesus did, the walk that Jesus had, and study his every move that he made, you're going to find out some things that you didn't know before. If you study them and look at them and analyze them, meditate on them, actually, what he's saying, you'll destroy some of man's traditions that way, a lot of them. Because why? We are to walk like Jesus, right? And if we're to walk like Jesus, then we have to know how he walked. And if there's things in there that goes against your little traditions, then what do? We have to go with the way Jesus walked and not worry about the rest of it. That's what I'm finding out. Some of these old traditions are just going away. All right, let's go on here. Same part, meditate. Think about and say over and over to yourself what you have discovered in this verse in order to get it in your spirit. Think about and say over and over to yourself what you have discovered in this verse. All right, number three, communion with God. Talking prayer. A, B, listening prayer. C, practice the presence of the Spirit of God. Practice the presence of the Spirit of God. I hope all of you are doing that. That's what he's gotten us to now, is to be in the presence of him. But how can you have a personal relationship with the Lord if you don't practice the presence of the Spirit of God? That's how you get to be led by the Spirit all the time. Is to be in the presence of the Spirit. Get in the Spirit, and you'll be led by the Spirit. Number four, fellowship with like-minded Christians. Well, praise God, we got a whole bunch of them right here. Get around people that believe like you do. If there are none in your area, win some, and then disciple them into this truth. Well, amen. B, if the people in your church are dead and resistant to this truth, leave that place and find a place that accepts it. If there's no place like that near you, start one. You are a missionary. Oh, man, that makes us do something now, doesn't it? Got to talk to the neighbors. Oh, my, I can't talk to them about Jesus. They don't know anything about Jesus. Well, that's the ones you ought to be talking to. Anybody got any comments on anything we've talked about? Are y'all just going to let me sit here and read this and drone on? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I'll run my mouth for a minute.
Okay, thank you, Pat. I take a rest now.
I was thinking of the second one where you said feed on the Word of God. And you're talking, he mentioned meditation. And I know that the verse that I thought about when I saw that, heard that, was in Joshua 1:8, where he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I think of that word meditate, of course, that I believe someone explained that. I can't remember looking it up, but somebody explained to me that that's the same base of the word, I think, that means ruminate, or it has the idea of a cow chewing its cud. I may be wrong about that, but I'll let someone else correct me if not. But anyway, and the idea, obviously, with a cow chewing the cud is they eat the food, they eat, go out and graze and eat their, you know, the grass or the hay or whatever it is that they eat. And then they sit down, lay down and rest, and they bring that food back up out of a part of their stomach, and then they just chew on it and continue to, I guess it's part of the digestive process. And so I found that when reading the word, I personally have a hard time of sitting down and reading a large, like 10 chapters of the book or something, because I always get stuck thinking about a particular verse or something that was said in a particular verse. And I usually don't make it through 3 or 4 verses before I get stuck and I get sit there and think about it. But I've noticed that when, if we have a tendency just to blow by the verse, blow by the thing, I know that a lot of verses that I will read, I'll start into the verse and I said, and I'll think, oh yeah, I remember that. That's this, that means this. And I just blow on by it because I'm looking for the next thing or whatever. But I really think the Lord wants us at times to just read, stop, think about it. And one of the best ways to do that is to, you know, if is to crack out the concordance or something and look at what a word means. Define those words that are there in that particular verse. And as you go through and pull out your concordance and you actually define what those words mean, it starts the ruminating process in your mind, and you're able to start to understand some of the deeper meanings of what God means in his word there. And so I just, that whole meditation thing is because how many times have you heard somebody say, well, money's the root of all evil? And everybody just, and you kind of go with that flow. And then the conversation rolls on down in a certain thing. But if you actually go back and read that verse, what it says, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so, we, again, when we blow by these verses so quickly and we just read them with a preconceived notion of what it means and just keep on blowing by, a lot of times we miss the deeper intent and sometimes miss the complete idea of what the Lord meant by it when he wrote that word. So anyway, I just thought I would toss that out. That's what I'm thinking.
Amen. Well, David calls it, when you just read through there, reading the word like a hog eats slop, you know. And that's a good analogy, because a lot of people did. I used to do that a lot. Just read through. So I read the Bible 3 times this year, you know, whatever. Well, what'd you get out of it? Well, I remember Genesis. I remember. But he wants us to meditate on those things. You can peel that, or you take that word like an onion and just peel it back layer after layer after layer. I know y'all have gone over scriptures and just missed something that you finally, one day you see it and you say, oh my goodness, I know that's existed, but I didn't understand it. That's the way it was meant, you know, and God just opens up your understanding. And that's what he's talking about, not like Pat was talking about. David talked about like reading a newspaper also. No, we need to study the word. That's what it says. Okay, number 5, public confession of who you are in Christ and who he is in you. A, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over me. He's Lord over my family. He's Lord over the city I live in. He's Lord over this nation. He's Lord over my finances and my health. And B, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16. Then C, the Golden Rule, Matthew 7, 12. And D, the Abiding Anointing, 1 John 2:27. E, power over the enemy. Luke 10:19. Everybody knows that one. The works of Jesus and greater works. John 14:12. Who you are in Christ. We got to get a handle on that and understand. And I know a lot of you already know that, but do you know that you have the same power, you have the same authority, you have the same love, you have the same humbleness, you have all the attributes of Christ right there with you. And he wants us to walk in it. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to do, to help us do this. Amen. Okay, number 6, one of my favorites, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. I remember one time I heard we were talking about Lake, and I read somewhere in one of the books that I've got about him. Well, he's got it down right here. Praying in tongues. Hey, loud. Do it loud. It brings up the fight in you, he says. B, long, do it long. Time yourself and get longer each time. Build spiritual stamina. Intensity. C, fight as if your life depends upon it. And it does. If not your life, somebody else's. I was telling someone today that there was a test done over at Oral Roberts University by a doctor there. And he was studying the immune system and the effects that the speaking in tongues had upon it. And he would hook up people before and after. He would take, I don't know how they check the immune system. I think it's through a microscope, but I don't know. Anyway, ever how they check it, that's how they were checking it. And before they take a sample and determine how much immunity they had, and then they speak in tongues, pray in tongues for a while. And he's came up with the conclusion that if you spoke in tongues, if you prayed in tongues 30 minutes a day, that it would increase your immune system 30%. Well, think about what it would do if you did it for an hour, if you just take it in a simple mathematical way, it'd be 60%, wouldn't it? Then if you take it in for an hour and a half, it'd be 90 minutes or 90%. So if you did it for an hour, you'd have 100% immune. You couldn't, it couldn't, you'd be just walking like Lake did when the bubonic plague came about. And they told him put those germs in his hands under a microscope, and those germs just died right there because of the spirit of life of Jesus Christ in him. It's over. The law of sin and death. So the more you speak in tongues, the more you pray in tongues, the more you pray in the spirit, the stronger you become as a Christian. And I've known that for a long time. And I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll build your faith up too. Yeah, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's it. Jude 1 and 20. But you, let me see that again. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen to that. That's one of the most important things you could do is pray in the Spirit a lot. All right, number 7. Has anybody got any comments on the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit? All right, I'm running out. I'm on the last one here now. Then we're just going to shut up and let y'all talk. Action. 7 is action. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. God wants us to do what he did on earth. Did he just sit around and twiddle his thumbs? Uh-uh. That man was going all the time. He came here to set the captives free. And that's why he's making other sons of God. Jane? Okay. Let's see. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way for Jane to come on in to the conference call. In Jesus' name, we bind up all the communication spirits that are trying to keep her out of here and getting the truth. And Father, we just praise you that Jane is coming in Jesus' name. All interference go. That's right, dude. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on in here, Jane. Amen. All right. Did she make it in? I got 2 pages I got to go back and forth on. Has anybody got anything I'd like to add to this? Y'all help me out here. Has anybody been praying? I just want to ask that.
Oh.
I want to see if anybody been praying. Oh, my gracious. Okay. All right, I got a prayer request. Just pray for Angelica's school desk to be erased tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. School debts, you know, loans that they, you know, that you take out when you go to school sometimes. And she's got one, and she's going to court tomorrow about it. And Lord, I just thank you for favor with Angelica. And I thank you, Lord, that these debts are erased in Jesus' name, that the government has already taken care of it. She doesn't have to worry about it. And we believe, Lord, that when she goes in there in the morning, that they're going to drop everything against her, and her credit will be okay. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I understand that there's already been a lot of people that their loans have been canceled. So we're going to believe that for Angelica as well. Thank you, Lord. It is done. As we'll have that, we'll have the testimony tomorrow at the Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Listen to this. See if y'all can figure this out. I got it right away. I'll just let you know I got it right away. So it's pretty simple. It's got to be. Here's what he said. Blake said this. Amen. That's right, Greg. Blake said this. He said, it is a law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. Do you get that? You want me to do it again? Does that mean repeat? Or are you just, okay.
Does that mean he's just going to act on it and then let it follow through versus try to believe for it first and then act on it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to call those things that are not as though they were. He's going to act those things that are not as though they were. You put it in that respect. It is a law of the human mind. This is a law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster then I can believe myself into acting. Because when you're doing it, when you're doing it, you're there, you're doing it. But when you're trying to sit around and believe that you're going to do it, well, you're just sitting on your thumb, you know. He says, here Wigglesworth answer to it. He says, I may start in the flesh, but I finish in the spirit. Glory to God. That's right. That's what he's talking about. It is the law of human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. I may start in the flesh, but I finish in the spirit. Praise the Lord.
I think I'll start a ministry that says that, start in the flesh and in the spirit.
Yeah, there you go. Amen. Oh, another saying he had. The only hindrance to healing is to believe that there is a hindrance. The only hindrance to healing is just to believe there is a hindrance. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, driving again. Hope everyone's doing well.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it. Amen. Michael, you said, that's kind of a tongue twister, man. The, about that, will you say that one more time, that the, that statement about that, I can act, I'm lost. Will you say that again, please? I'm trying
here. Hey, Julie, see if you can type this in for me in the chat, and I'll go slow. Because I can't type fast. Can you, all right, you ready? It is a law of the human mind, comma, that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I was just going to say that, maybe I'm wrong here, but I was just brings to my remembrance the verse where show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my works, and then you'll have to finish the rest. I don't have it memorized. Just makes me think of that. That's all I was going to add.
Amen. That's right, Isaac.
Show you my faith by my works.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen.
So this was John G. Lake that said that, or who said that?
Yeah. Lake said these things. Yeah. I've here recently, I've just gone back. I wanted to pinpoint the healing ministry and the deliverance ministry to a place to where we get 100% rather than whatever. It's going to be 100%. That's what I'm striving for. And the way you do that is to believe that God's doing it through you. It's not you, it's God doing it through you. It's your faith in him rather than your faith in you. Go ahead, Missy.
Can I read something when you said that the only hindrance to healing is believing there is a hindrance, it right away reminded me of what I read yesterday that I shared with Barbara today, because I can I share it? It's from Faith.
For sure. Yeah.
Thanks. It's chapter 9, the very beginning of that chapter. If anybody wants to turn to it that has it. Okay. People don't know that it's normal to have a trial of faith. And when things don't happen the way they're believing or as quickly as they're believing, the devil tells them, you're not doing something right. It doesn't have anything to do with that. You're always not doing something right. That's always going to be the situation, and that is not the point. That's the devil trying to trick you out of your prayers being answered. In fact, Romans 4:1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. For what says the scripture? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. You cannot be righteous no matter how hard you try if you don't believe God. But if you do believe God, he'll overlook an awful lot of things. In other words, there's an awful lot under the blood, which is what he's getting ready to say. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as debt. Him that worketh is a person who is trying to earn what God has given him freely. You can't do it. You cannot be good enough for God to account you righteous, because if you sin just one time, you're a sinner. You have to be reckoned righteous because of your faith, There is no other way. But to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. You see, if you could be good enough, God would owe it to you. But that's never going to happen. So the only other choice you have is to be accounted righteous by your faith. Believe God for the very thing that you're in the trial for, because God put you in that trial and he wants to call you righteous because you're believing him when you don't see what you want. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Don't try to earn what God wants and desires earnestly to freely give you by grace, which is his unmerited and unearned favor. Don't try it, because God will not impute righteousness to you for that. Men are full of self-effort to try and save themselves, and it doesn't please God because it is not faith. The reason God chose faith as a method is so that salvation in any form would be grace, not by works. Because what can we do to earn anything from God? He holds all the chips and holds all the cards. What can you do for him? The thing that pleases God the most is to believe him in the very thing that you need. That's what pleases him. And what came to me was Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing to God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Anyway, so that's mainly what I wanted to read. And I just want to add a little note here. a little testimony, because I wanted to share this, you know, tonight, but I didn't get to it yet. But then when this came up, it instantly made me think of this. The other day I went and got some new sneakers, and I tried on was the pair that I ended up getting. And I have an issue with sneakers. I wear them out like there's no tomorrow. And I got to make sure I get ones that have a good rubbery bottom rather than those real foamy things, because I wear them out really fast. And so that really, with the way they make sneakers now, that really limits me. But the pair of sneakers that I bought were all white, and I hadn't bought a pair of all white sneakers in years, not because I always buy my sneakers. I don't care how they look as long as they're comfortable. And I don't buy them these bright colors for to say, hey, here I am, you know, or anything like that. But anyway, but after I bought them, you know, the Lord got my attention, you know, about these sneakers being all white. And I'm like, I just thought of, you know, a righteous walk. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, I just asked him for a random word. And what he gave me, and it was right before, when he gave me this, right after that, I picked this book up and started reading chapter 9. And right there it was, what I had just, the verse that I had, the Lord had given me by faith at random, and it was Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. So anyway, and this whole section here, I'm not even done, you know, reading this chapter yet, but this, I was just so pumped up and so encouraged by this, you know, it's like David's really talking about the trials, you know. He said previous chapter, I believe it was, he said there's not hardly any thing that he's prayed for that hasn't been a trial of his faith. Very not very often did he get an instant manifestation or an instant healing or an instant answer. Everything was a trial of faith. And it doesn't, that didn't mean that it was like a real long trial, you know, or whatever, but it was a trial, you know, it wasn't an instant thing. So that just really encouraged me. And this encouraged me too, you know, it just encouraged me, you know, to just stand and not waver, hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. But anyway, so that just encouraged me. I really liked that. The only hindrance to healing is believing there is a hindrance. In other words, believing Satan's lie. You're not doing something right.
So, that's right.
Thank you, Lord, amen, for the trials. You know, when you read, you know, it's like, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it may also made me think of Merlin Carruthers, you know, how he says, praise the Lord for everything, thanking for everything. And I'm sorry, Michael, but I got so tickled that time that you had shingles and you were saying, these are the best looking, thank you, Lord, these are the best looking shingles anybody's ever had. And I thought it was funny. I just got a chuckle out of that. But anyway, so it's just thanking for it. And the more you can be thankful for it, knowing that going through it, you're going to come out of it with an answer and having more Jesus. That's the most important thing, having more Jesus. But anyway, so I'll get down off my soapbox.
Oh, that was good. Thank you for it. All right, anyone else? Yeah, rub the devil's nose in it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's look at that right quick. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Can God do anything? Can we do anything? Can we do anything with God? He says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay, I can think some pretty good stuff, can't y'all? But if we run into something, listen to this, that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in us? When we run out of our thinking process about what God can do, who takes over then? God does, right? That's what he's saying here. According to the power in it. What if the power in us is God? We got God right here, right? Then when we stop thinking, God takes over and he's the one that does the rest. He will take you to your faith, through your faith, to a place. Now, I know it goes against a lot of traditions of men, but you're reading it right here. According to the power that works in us. Well, the power that works in us can go further than our faith, can't it? That's a yes or no. Can't it? It can. So if we believe that, God can do even above and beyond what we can believe. All we got to do is what? Trust him. It's not our faith, folks. It's the faith in him. A lot of times we have the problem of trying to develop our faith when we should be developing our faith and trust in him. You don't need faith in your faith, right? No, you don't need faith in your faith. You need faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord, that he's going to fulfill everything that you're believing for. That's where we miss it sometimes, you know. You don't need faith in your faith. You just need faith in the Lord to do it through you, because that's what happens. Let me give you an instance. Let me give you for instance. Let's say that you're going out here and you're going to pray for somebody. I'll tell you how I do it. When I get out there and I pray for somebody and I grab their hands and start praying for them, I believe that God is, his faith, his power is going through me. I ain't nobody. He's just using me for a conduit. I'm just a conduit. That's all I am. You're a conduit. Anybody in here can do the same thing. That faith comes through me, goes through me to them, and all I got to do is, you're healed. In Jesus' name. And you get mad at that sickness. When you get mad at that sickness and that death and that, all of that stuff that you're praying for, and listen, here's something else. The least to the biggest, you should be the same. You should have the same desire to get rid of it. If somebody's got a headache or somebody's got a cancer tumor, terminal, ought to be the same type of aggressiveness toward that enemy. And you get after that, and you and he's got to go. He's got to go. I remember listening to Curry Blake. He said he was in Italy one time, and this guy had gotten shot, and they wanted him to go over and pray for this man. And he did. He went over and prayed for him and told him that he was healed. And then they called him the next morning and said, the guy died last night. Well, Curry did this. He went to the Lord and he said, well, Lord, I told those people that he was healed. And if you're going to keep him dead, I'm going to pack up my stuff and go home, and this is it for me, because I'm not going, if I can't go out there and believe that you're going to back me up when I pray the prayer of faith for these people and he doesn't get healed, he said, I'm just going to pack my bags up and go home, because I can't trust the what I'm doing. Guess what happened? Brought him back to life. Not him, the Lord did. They called him back, called him just right back, said, never mind, he's up, he's well, he's out of the bed, he's healed. And he told this so that people would understand where you are with Christ, with Jesus and the Lord. You can believe to that extent that you're going to trust him to back you up and to back up what he said in his word. And if you take that kind of an attitude, you're going to see a great increase in your prayer for the healing, for the sick. A great increase. Don't give up either. That's another one. Don't give up. Stay in there. Hang in there. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to read something. I feel like it's a pretty good time. That it goes along with exactly what Missy said and you said about not having faith, basically, of your own faith, but of faith in God. I'm going to read this because this is something a revelation the Lord gave me. And it's just a small little chapter in Psalms. But I explain it, and Novak's summing up real quick. Anyways, chapter 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Jehovah loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab, Babylon, as among them that know me. Behold, Lycia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This one was born there. Yea, of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. Jehovah will count when he writeth up the peoples. This one was born there. They that sing as well as they that dance shall say, all my fountains are in thee. So to make my point, especially when it comes to verse 2 and 3, I'll repeat, Jehovah loveth the gates of Zion more than dwellings of Jacob. Okay, And, you know, this kind of goes back even further when we first started talking about reading the word. Sometimes I can read it and read it and read it and just not get it. And I'll have to ask God to open my eyes. You know, or a lot of times I ask him, I say, you know, Father, open my mind as you open the apostles in the end of the scriptures. I think it's in John. He opened the apostles' minds to understand the things of the scriptures. Like it says that. And he can do the same for me. So anyways, to make my point was this, to basically what you're saying, Michael, Jehovah loveth Zion more than dwells Jacob. I think I heard David say, we are Zion, okay? In Philistia and Ethiopia and Tyre, this one was born there. And I think it's because of Gentiles. So what he's saying is, Jehovah loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And I think the gates of Zion, those are the people who are justified by faith and not of works, because the dwellings of Jacob, that was Israel. Jacob's name was Israel, and they were the firstborn, right? But we're the secondborn, the seed of Abraham. And the Lord showed me that he loves those who are justified by faith rather than the works of Israel, you know, the works of the old covenant. That's what the Lord was showing me. And so it's faith in God. It's faith that we're reckoned righteous, you know, just faith that he could even do that. That's what I was trying to say. I believe the Lord showed me that, and I was really excited. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Our faith is trust in the Lord, right? It's like Isaac was talking about. All right, anybody else? What about it, Andrew? I see you talking there.
No, just thinking of some verses, that's all. Like first, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, Luke 1:37. What's that one there? Seeing as his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. Amen. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. His word is everlasting. What is it? Eternal word, eternal life. Not one jolt or tittle of his word shall fail.
Amen. All right. All right, anybody else? Yes, what's your name, Missy?
There's a song called Believe For It by C.C. Winans. And it, like the second half of the song, like it sounds like it's long version live. It's like 8 minutes something, but it's so encouraging. It's a faith builder. It says, you said it, I believe it. It is done. Or you'd have to listen to it. It'd be an awesome song for us to listen to. Because it just she has this really short version of it, but it's not nearly as good as the long version. It's when I last time I was in Tennessee there, I had Eve listen to it. She says, that's a song you should get up and listen to every morning. she really liked it. So anyway.
Well, get it on there. We'll share it.
Well, I can never figure out how to share it and my sound to come through. Next okay. Thursday, Missy Greg says.
That'll be good.
We could wait till then if you wanted to, but since we're like talking about it now, it's like, you know, that song is like, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. God says it, I believe it, you know. You said, I believe. It's just, I can't remember the different words to it either. And she even says, by your stripes, I'm healed, you know, too.
And what's the name of it?
Believe For It. The live version is 8 minutes and 22 seconds. Of C.C. Winans.
Who does it?
C.C. Winans.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody else want to talk about faith and what faith is? We're coming up to a time, folks, where our faith is going to be utilized a lot. And that's why I wanted to kind of go over some things with you about faith. And I know we talk faith a lot, but there's a lot of things in what we've learned over the years that are traditions of men that hinders our praying ability. And some things that are man's traditions keep us from having that as successful a ministry, praying ministry, healing ministry, deliverance ministry. I know of a lot of people on TV that pray for it. They're known for their healing ministry. And if the truth be known, they'd be way down in the percentages of the people that they pray for as far as being successful. And there's others out there that, I hate to say it, but they sell their faith. If you come up and you have cancer, it costs this amount of money. If you come up and you have a broken foot, it costs the X amount of money. That kind of thing is going on daily. We're going to give it away free. We don't own it. It ain't nothing I can do. It ain't nothing anybody can do except God worked through us, right? I couldn't heal a gnat. But with God in me, I can. And there's two things that really get people messed up. And one of them is pride, big head, thinking I'm somebody when you're not anybody without Christ. If you didn't have Christ, you couldn't do anything. And God will honor you. He'll honor your faith. He honors those people out there's faith that are making tons of money off of this kind of a ministry. But he'll tell you, I'll take care of you later. Right now, I'm dealing with these people. Anyway. Endurance in your faith, get results. Believing that God's doing it. If you could just see God when you're praying for somebody, boy, that power is coming through me to them. You touch them and they feel the power. They're healed. How many times did Jesus do that? Every time. That's why he wants us to do it too. He wants us to trust him. When you trust him as much as you trust by him, as you do that light switch over there, you know when you turn that light switch on, that light's coming on. When you turn it off, it's going off. When you grab somebody's hands and you command that spirit to come out of them, it's coming out. It ain't no way. It's got to come out. Okay. Who else wants to talk? I'm through. Yeah, Dave.
I think one of the other hindrances that you will come up with and that Satan will throw out is, you're not holy enough to do that. Why do you think you can do this? You're not Jesus. Do you really think you're an apostle? Anything to discourage you from carrying forward and just doing it and using your mouth, putting your hands on somebody, commanding it to go. And those little voices will come up and try to tell you, oh, they're trying to bite you down, you know. And then, oh, geez, you didn't see that miracle happen in front of your eyes. It wasn't immediate. So you want to have a little doubt going in your head. And that's where I'll just, okay, I'll back off. I'll let it go. I prayed the prayer. Now I'm going to go pray to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, this is what we did. And this is what I'm believing for. And I, you know, I don't stop and say, okay, I did my part. I guess it's not going to happen. If I still think it's going to happen, I need, you know, I'm going to push this through. I'll go and pray more until I see the results. I mean, you call it double-minded, do whatever you want. But you know what? I wait for my results to happen. I want to see the results, not because I'm anybody, but because this is the Lord's word. And I said, you want to be honored, Lord, this is what you're going to have to do. And this is not up to me. It's not me. It's you. You know, this is a reflection on you. And then I put it back in his hands and I say, this is what this person needs. And if you want them to have faith in your word, this is what you're going to have to do. Well, you know what? That worked for me this last time really well. Because, you know, you don't know what you're up against for hindrances, but you know, you can still push and push and push until you see things ain't happening. Of course, I'm talking about that woman I prayed at work for her arm, the ACL, whatever it was going. I mean, she's got full movement. She's done. Everything's working great. There's no pain, nothing. And they said it would be 2 weeks, and it was a matter of 2 days, and there was nothing. First day was like, pain's gone, I can move. The second day was, I can breathe my head, hands above my head. I'm doing things like I normally did. The doctor says, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. And he says, why? I can do this. Well, you need to come in and get MRI. Why? I'm feeling fine. I don't need to come in and see you. You just pray it through.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Something else I want to talk about is John G. Lake's healing rooms. He had a healing rooms up in Spokane. And in these healing rooms, he would teach these what he called divine healing technicians. And he'd teach them faith. He'd teach them how to pray for people. And he'd teach them to stay with them until they got them. They would stay with these people until they got healed. And what they would do is they'd have them come in every day for 30 days until they got healed. And they'd make the people, the person that they were praying for, consent to that. And they'd heal them. It might take one time. It might take three times. It might take 14 times. It might take 28 times. They'd get healed. What I'm saying is this. You remember when Jesus prayed for the blind man? And the blind man, after he prayed for him the first time, he said, I can see trees moving like people. In other words, he couldn't see completely, or people looking like trees, or whatever, whichever way it was. But then he said, okay. So he prayed for him again. Then he could see. And Lake took that process. He didn't, I'm sorry, I say and pray. What he would do is command. He never prayed. You'll never see Jesus praying for anybody. He commanded the enemy off of him. That's what he said to do. You command, you take authority over that enemy and command him to come out. And he has to do it. He has to go. And they'd sit down on the first day and they'd teach him a little bit of faith, talk about faith, and then they'd pray for him. Then they come back the next day. They do it some more. And they pray for them again. Not that I'm trying to. I'm just telling you how Lake did it, okay? And they had anywhere from 95 to 97% healing rate. Now, when you've got that kind of a percentage of success the way he did it, then we need to take a look at something here. I know that Wigglesworth said you can pray 99 times, and then the last time is when they get healed is the only time you prayed in faith. I don't believe that. I believe that you might get this, and don't to make the law out of this. This is just Michael. I believe that when you pray for somebody, if you get distracted, let's just take, for instance, I was talking to somebody today about that. You might get distracted. And your whole being is not focused on what you're doing. Well, you might give them a percentage of healing. Then you come back and you give them more. And you give them more. I always strive to get an instantaneous healing. I always strive to get an instantaneous healing. But I don't give up if they want to keep on and keep it on. I'm starting to do that now more so now. I'm going to do what Lake did and trying it now. And we're going to see big results because of it. You can't give up. Enduring your faith to the end is what it said. Well, I ain't healed yet. Well, it ain't the end yet, so keep on commanding that thing to go because it's got to go. And that's the way we got to do it. You have to be so hating that enemy so much so that you're going to see it rooted out of there for yourself or for somebody else. That's the way people's lives are going to be dependent upon us. That's right. Believe you have received it, you shall have it. Now, I know this goes against a lot of things that people have been taught over the years, but we have to look at Jesus, right? All right. I'm through.
I just want to say, I think the biggest thing you helped with me on this is, not that I didn't see this initially, but it does make more sense. It's not that you have to have that more faith to make this happen, because that's one of the things you get a trap into. Do you have enough faith for this? Do I feel like I'm good, like I can do this? No, it's you have to have faith that God's going to do this, not your faith that God's is going to do. Believe that he's the one that's doing this and he's hearing you and he's going to follow through. You're believing for him, not for you. That's a big one. I mean, that's, you're not looking at you, you're looking at him. You're believing him to do this. That's what he says he's going to do. So if you're looking to yourself, wow, that's a pretty high hurdle. You're probably not going to leap over all the time because you're going to be thinking, I don't have enough faith. Well, no, it's not you. It's just believing on God to do it. Believing God's going to do it, and he will do it. He'll follow through, you know.
Boy, I don't know what you did, but you struck a nerve for somebody. I got four hands up right now. Well, Dave is absolutely right. When you say, I don't have enough faith, what are you doing? You need to get saved, because salvation, you had the faith to be saved, didn't you? You had the faith to believe that God was saving you. It's the same type of faith. You trusted God to save you. Now you trusted God to do something else. Go ahead, whoever. I think Pat had his up first, or me, might have been me. I don't know. Whoever it was. Go ahead. Who is me? Is that you, Julie? Go ahead, me. You have to unmute yourself.
Oh, am I? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Are you me?
Hear me now. Well, I'm. Yeah, I need to get. That's my phone. I've been driving, and so I've been trying to listen in a little bit here. Let me just disconnect. So I've been listening, but I do want to put in a prayer request. I have a very dear friend who has been in ICU for some time, but today he took a turn for the worse, and the doctors have said he's not going to make it. So the family has already gone in to ICU here locally, and I just heard this. I was driving in for another meeting, or for a meeting, and my wife told me this, and she's all in tears, and every, you know, the family's already said goodbye.
What's the matter with
not accept? Go ahead.
What's the matter with it?
What was that, Michael?
What's wrong with him that we need to pray for, Malcolm?
The doctor said he's going to die tonight or sometime.
What's the cause of the death? Lack of life? What?
He's had COVID, but he didn't take it well, and he's so he's been in ICU for quite a while. He went in at about the same time as my sister-in-law went in. She went into critical care unit, and he went into ICU, but he didn't. He just wasn't doing well.
Okay.
Whereas my sister-in-law is already back home.
Oh, okay. What is his name?
His name is Will.
Okay.
Will. He's in charge of a ministry here locally. He and his wife, and they're a conservative ministry. They believe the way they pray for healing is that if it be thy will, you know all that. So that's where they're at. They still believe God can work a miracle tonight. Of course, I would pray differently. I'm not praying any okay. If it be thy will garbage. Because Jesus already expressed his will on the cross.
Well, let's just command that. Let's command that spirit of infirmity off of it.
Yeah, spirit of death.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't have the kind of authority in their family like one of their members would. But I'm just, you know, I thought of going to the hospital and just doing the praying there at the hospital, but I don't think it really makes any difference if I'm here or there. I'm at the house right now. I just turned around and came home to deal with this. So,
okay. Well, we can pray for him, and this is a spiritual realm we're talking about, so this is not a problem.
Nope.
In the name of Jesus, right now, I come against your spirit of infirmity, and I command it off of Will.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, right now. And I'll take all the symptoms with him. And you wake up well and be healed in the name of Jesus. You COVID infirmity, go from him right now in Jesus' name. I command those lungs to have air in them. I command that heart to start beating like it's supposed to. Every organ be healed in that man's body right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that it is done. For Will, in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God,
amen.
Glory to God, glory to God. We're going to see a praise miracle God. Tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Will. And waking his spiritual mind up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Cast down the pronouncement of the doctors. It's null and void.
Yep.
We nullify that curse. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now, what you've already done. And thank you for what you're going to do through Will and through through their family. I pray that you get tremendous glory and see some great changes in that group of people there, their whole family. Great changes, Lord. I'm looking for great changes, revival, and just a coming to you. Thank you, Lord, for doing all these things, Lord. I know you have plans for these folks. And I pray you, another thing I want to pray for Will is that he has forgiven everybody, that he's, there are people that have come against him and been pretty nasty. So Lord, I just pray that you put it in Will's heart to forgive these guys. I think he has, because he was this party that was wrong, but I pray that you make sure that he's forgiven and he's, everything's taken care of so that you can just work what you need to do tonight and right now. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've done it. You've impressed his heart. He's clean and clear with you. And also I want to pray for the people that have done him wrong, that criticized and just been so factious. I pray that they will forgive and you'll accomplish healing on their side and cause them to turn from faction, turn from evil, turn from criticism and terrible things that they've done, and bring reconciliation. I just thank you. You're doing this with the other family as well.
Amen.
Thank Hallelujah. You,
Lord. You believe it. You mark the time, because that's when the changes occurs at 9:40.
Got it.
All right, go ahead.
Praise God.
Go ahead,
thank
Pat.
You. Thank you for letting me interrupt here. I know it's off topic, but and
right.
There's no urgency with God. He knows what he's doing, so I need to calm down a little bit.
Yep, I believe he's done. He's going to be fine. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Michael, I just had a question. I believe you read about John G. Lake's healing ministry or whatever that he was, healing church.
You're talking about divine healing technician?
Or something like that, yeah. But you mentioned the part of they give them 30 days and,
he'd make them commit to going there 30 days.
Yes.
And these were new people that he had just trained. And he'd send them out to terminally ill people, and they would get them healed.
Oh, these are the people that he trained. They had to commit for 30 days. Oh, okay. I misunderstood that. I thought you meant that these people that would come for healing, that they would commit to come.
Yes.
The
healing technicians would make them commit to 30 days, and they'd get them healed. One guy went 28 days. One guy went 28 days, and he didn't show up for the school, for the praying or whatever it was at that time. And Lake called him. He says, "What are you, a man not of your word? You know, I told you 30 days, and you come up here 28 days and quit coming." He said, "Yeah, but I'm already healed." He said, "Oh, okay, yes, that's good, you're good."
So when you mentioned that he taught them to command, to take authority and command this disease out.
Yeah.
So if they commanded the first day, would they command the second day? And command the third day, as I'm thinking about that, if you've already commanded it out and then you come back the next day and redo it again, I understand the perseverance, but is that a lack of faith or in us to have to command it more than one time, I guess it would be what I would ask. That's a question to you.
Yeah. Well, the reason that they
did it. You understand what I'm.
I understand the question, yeah. The reason that they did it is because of what I just told you about with Jesus and the blind man. You got to understand, we're dealing with people just coming into this healing thing. He was. And he just told them, said, unless, here's something else too, Pat. If they didn't get him healed in 30 days, he didn't want to see him back in his place. That's how adamant he was that people get healed. That he wanted to get this faith and trust thing down pat. And that's what that was there. And after that, after those times, those men would go out and they would be just like they could get that healing all the time after that. And it was a training session. And I believe that when people persevere to the point that if I go to my grave with this disease, I'm still believing you're out of my body in Jesus' name. You have to go. I'm still believing God's got you in. You know, you got to have that type of mentality with God. I have defeated you. I'm not going to bow at your feet, cancer. I'm not going to bow at your feet, COVID-19. You know, I am just like the three guys did when they went into the furnace. Remember what they said? Even if I die, I'm still not going to bow to your idol. That's the type of attitude that Blake was trying to instill in these young men or these men. And yeah, they would go in and they would teach a little faith to them, and then they'd come in and out again. They'd do it again. They'd do it again. Think of it this way. And I talked with somebody about this also. Think of it this way. Let's say I'm praying for you, Pat, for whatever. And the phone rings while I'm praying for you, or I'm distracted a little bit, okay? And don't make this the law. But I'm distracted a little bit and not 100% of my spirit man is concentrating on what I'm doing. Let's say you get 40% of healing. Next time I come around, it's going to be another 40%, maybe 60%, and you get that 100% healing. People have to understand to trust the Lord, and that's what Lake was instilling in these young men, was just persevere, keep on, keep on, and keep on, and keep on until you defeat the enemy. Because that enemy is going to try to hang on. He's going to try to test you to see. We don't test. You got to go, enemy. You got to go. And I believe that's what he was trying to instill in them. It's just that perseverance and endurance and trust in the Lord, you know. He had a wonderful, he emptied out one, they had to close down one hospital up there in Spokane. I believe it was Spokane. Is it in Spokane or the other one? Portland. I think that's where the other one, where it was. It was in Portland. Anyway, any questions? I hope that explained, Pat, why he did it that way. You still got that deer in the headlight look.
Sorry, I was looking for that verse, the verses that where Jesus was healed the blind man, and that he saw men as trees. And yeah. I just kind of wanted to read that. I'm sorry?
Yeah, do that. Get it and read it for us.
Just a second. As soon as I find it.
Yeah. All right, anybody else? Okay, well, I guess we're through, huh? What did Jimmy say? He says, yeah, that's a good one. Psalms 18:37. I will pursue mine enemies and overtake them. Neither will I turn again until they are consumed, bless God. Then 38, I will smite them through so that they shall not be able to rise. They shall fall under my feet. And 39, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle, Lord God. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also made my enemies turn their backs unto me that I might cut off them that hate me. Lord God. When the enemy finds out that you're not going to back down, you'll have them running everywhere you go. Uh-oh. Here comes Pat. My goodness gracious, let's go, boys. I ain't going to put up with that. That guy there, he'll send me straight to the king down there, Satan. I know what he'd do to me if I get. They're going to take off. I know of a man. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'm. You got me tweaked, and I got to listen to what you're going to say. Go ahead.
I don't forgot it. Go ahead.
Jesus heals a blind man in Bethsaida. Bethsaida. It's in Mark 8:22, and they came to and they come into Bethsaida. I'm kind of murdering that. And they bring him a blind man and beseeched him to touch him. And he took hold of the blind man by the hand and brought him out of the village. That's an interesting point. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands upon him and asked him, if thou seest aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men, for I behold them as trees walking. Then again, he laid hands upon his eyes and he looked steadfastly and was restored. And he saw all things clearly. And he sent him away to his home, saying, enter not even into the village. So Jesus didn't say anything. He just laid his hands on him and asked him if he saw and laid his hands on him again to persevere to bring that to bring that healing. And I get that was kind of the first time I noticed that he didn't even say anything.
Did he ask him this, Pat? Did he ask him if he had any generational curses? Did he ask him anything about unforgiveness? Did he ask him any of those things that sometimes we get hung up on? No.
It didn't appear to be, no.
Oh, no, it didn't. Look in it. He healed them all. He never asked him any questions. He just freed them up. Traditions of man.
Interesting. Very neat. Why do you think he told him not to go into the? He brought him out of the village, and then at the end he said, "Enter not even into the village." Sent him away home, but said, "Don't go back into the building."
Unbelievers. Huh. Probably. What do you think, Rion? Yeah. Can you talk?
I can talk a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good listening to this, though. I really enjoy it. I don't have much to say. It's encouraging in faith.
Yeah.
We try and do all these little rules and things, I suppose, and it's just stand on the word and don't back down.
Amen. That's right. Just stand on the word and don't back down.
That's good.
You don't have to You don't have to do a lot of. Just go do like Jesus did. If you take a look at what Jesus did throughout the Gospels, you'll find out all he did was walk up to you and you're healed. Go and sin no more. That's what he told. And what he tell the disciples to do? Preach the gospel, heal the sick, all that good stuff. That's what he wants us to do. We're disciples, right? And once you do that, you make disciples out of them. My goodness. If you'll check this out. You can do it yourself. Go through the Gospels. Jesus hit. Who were the two people that he healed that he said, you have more faith than the people that, you know, than my people? They were two heathens that he healed that said that. That was the centurion. He was a heathen. They healed his servant. And the lady that she wanted her daughter healed. And he told her, she told him, she said, well, that dog goes around and eats the scraps anyway. He said, for your faith. Yeah, sorry, Phoenicia. Thank you, Greg. For your faith, be healed. Heathen. What does that mean? Then he healed them all. They were coming from all places like Tyre, Sidon, places that were not Jewish. We're going to destroy some traditions here. So I don't know. We'll see. I want everybody to get healed, don't y'all? I want everybody to get healed. And I know before we're through, you're going to get healed. Amen. Hey. Anybody else got any questions or just do a study on Jesus? That's all you got to do. Do a study on Jesus. Because that's who we're supposed to look like, right? Y'all looking more like Jesus every day. Glory to God. This is awesome. Oh, no, Samuel. The Bible study is a local. It's local here where we are. Yeah, I wish it were. Yeah, I wish it were. But it's not. It's local. I'd love for all of you to join us tomorrow. It's at 10 o'clock if you want to come. 10 o'clock. 10:30 if you want to come. It'd be over to Shaw's house. Of course, you know where that is. But we'd love to have you. Yeah, translation time. Got to believe, brother. You got to believe. That's the quickest and easiest way to get there. One of these days, we're all going to be together. Amen. Well, okay. It looks like we're about out of time. Yeah, that's right, Isaac. Going to have the UBM Express.
Joe has a question.
Who? Oh, Joe, yeah, go ahead, brother.
Oh, my God. I just want to ask, I was listening to a teaching from David yesterday, me talking about that seven churches in Revelation. He talking about the church ages. Do anybody know if there's a teaching on that, what David talks about?
I don't know. Julie would be the one. I don't know, Julie. What do you think?
I know. Joe, did you say the seven churches and the church ages?
Yeah. David said it could be the seven church ages as well as just the seven types of churches. Just want to think, maybe talking about it and teaching.
It doesn't ring a bell to me offhand, but I don't know. Was it what teaching were you listening to at Bible study? Do you remember?
Get up and fresh people of Zion. Sanctification and separation of the bride. Yeah.
The sanctification before blessing?
Yes. Sanctification and separating the bride of Christ.
It's a video.
Is it YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. I know there's a teaching on the threshing floor, but I don't know if it's... I don't know which one you're talking about. I don't know which one David's making reference to as far as the seven churches and the church age.
Okay.
Sorry. If I come across it, I'll let you know.
Thank you.
I think he does. Thanks, I think there is a teaching on it.
Last week, David seemed to have make mention of the Church of Philadelphia being the one that is raptured out.
Yeah, it's the bride.
So it seems to be both church ages as well as happening in the last times too.
Okay. Yeah, I think David was teaching on the bride. He calls the Philadelphia church the bride, I believe. If I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right, Missy? Yeah. Well, all right. Now, Thursday night, y'all going to have to talk. I'm talked out. Well, y'all want to talk about Thursday night before we go. That way we can all prepare ourselves.
Samuel and Gianna's got a question there in the chat.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
Hi, thank you again for having us. Glory to God. We're just wondering if someone's got tested or they're forced into getting tested. Well, what we're meant to do and things, obviously we pray everything out of it, but we're quite concerned about there's this, like people getting back into the corner and to doing this sort of stuff. And obviously we leave it with the Lord, but what the ramifications are and stuff. If you understand what I'm getting at.
Okay. Let me get offline first and then we'll talk about it. Okay. I want to stop the recording. Lord, we just thank you for another great night together. And we just praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that everybody has shared. And we thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have been answered already. And we thank you, Lord, that Will is healed. And he's coming out of that bed of affliction. And we thank you, Father, that he is healed. Because we prayed the prayer of faith, and he was the subject of it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight. And Lord, we're looking for the day when we all can get together in the natural. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.